Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Jonah. We are in Jonah chapter 2. You'll remember that in Jonah chapter 1, Jonah tried to run away from the Lord. And the Lord sent a great wind on the sea back in chapter 1, verse 4. Then at the end of the chapter, verse 17, the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, Jonah chapter 2, this is God's word. "From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, 'In my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord.' And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Now, we said yesterday that if you know who God is, you don't have any sort of intellectual or scientific problem with the idea of a great fish swallowing Jonah and Jonah living in there for 3 days and three nights and coming out alive. That's just not a stretch if you factor God into the equation. If you have an intellectual problem with that, it's because you don't understand God. You don't understand that he is almighty and that he's not just some cosmic force. He is personal. He is an intelligent being that created everything else, and all intelligence comes from him. So the idea of God doing this is just not a stretch. It's not a problem. The idea of you and I creating something like this would be a big problem. Could a team of scientists put together an underwater device that could sustain life for 3 days and three nights? Of course. Ever heard of a submarine? I've been in a submarine. And it is amazing. You're in a room and you can look out the windows and you can see all this amazing underworld world. All these fish swimming around. Fabulous. That was designed by man. I can assure you, if man can devise a submarine, God can design a fish that would be able to sustain life for 3 days and three nights. God not only designed it, God got it to the right place at the right time and had it swallow Jonah. And at the end of this chapter, it says God commanded the fish, and the fish vomited Jonah up on dry land. Did you know that God is able to command the forces of nature? He can command the wind, and it obeys. Jesus, in a storm on the Sea of Galilee, when the disciples thought they were going to drown, said to the storm, "Be quiet!" And the storm shut up. The wind stopped, the waves stopped, everything grew calm. The disciples were terrified, not unlike these sailors. When they threw Jonah overboard, the sea immediately grew calm, and they weren't reassured. They were now terrified because they realized they're dealing with Almighty God. You and I need to realize we're dealing with Almighty God. He is real, and he knows what's going on in your life. Don't think that God is too busy in another part of the universe to know what's happening with you. He knows how many hairs are on top of your head right now. He knows everything about you. He knows your thoughts. He knows your motives. God knows. And God cares for you. He really does. So, in chapter 2, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. What do you do when you're in a situation where you feel hemmed in on every side? I mean, Jonah couldn't walk out and didn't really want to walk out of the fish at that moment. He was thankful to be inside the fish because just prior to being inside the fish, he was out there in the water drowning. He was drowning. He says he sank down all the way to the bottom. He says, "I would have gone lower, but I couldn't because the seafloor was there." Okay? He made it to the depths at the foot of the mountains. "To the roots of the mountains I sank down." Verse 6. "The earth beneath barred me in forever." I couldn't go any lower. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like you couldn't go any lower? It was like nothing else can go wrong. I mean, I've been in situations like that. I remember one time when we had two children at the time, and our oldest was literally dying as we tried to rush to the hospital. We were in a borrowed car because our car had broken down. And now here we are, having been trapped in traffic for hours trying to get off of Cape Cod on a holiday weekend, on a Sunday afternoon when everybody's going back to Boston, and traffic is just sitting still, and there's nowhere to exit, there's no alternative road to get off the island. You're just trapped. We finally got up to where the traffic, we'd crossed the bridge onto the mainland, and the traffic was starting to move. And a vehicle in front of me lost a railroad tie, came right off the back of the truck and starts bouncing down the road. I missed it with three tires. I hit it with one. It exploded the tire. And now I've got a flat tire in a borrowed car with my child dying in the back seat. In moments like that, you sort of feel like you have sunk down to the bottom and there is no further down you can go. I mean, where do we go from here? I got out, tried to flag down a car, somebody to help us. Nobody would. My wife said, "Get back in the car." I got in. She got out. Car stopped. I don't know. Should have thought of that first. But I don't know. It wouldn't sound that good if we pull over on the side of the road having had a flat tire and I say, "Honey, get out there and flag down a car." That, you know, that's not very good either. In any case, I'll tell you this. When you're in a situation like that, the thing to do is not give up. The thing to do is not despair. The thing to do is what Jonah did. He prayed. He said, "To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. He was in a desperate situation, and God rescued him by sending this great fish to swallow him. Now, you might not feel really enthused about the idea of spending time inside a fish. But if you were drowning and suddenly now there's air, that's a welcome answer to prayer. But what was it like inside the fish? Well, like I said previously, if God wanted to provide a sofa and a reading lamp with a source of electricity, God could do that. But apparently he didn't. Instead, God provided air. And that was the thing that was essential. You know, you can go without food for a pretty long period of time. Not urging you to do so, but it is possible. I've done it myself. Water you have to have more frequently. You can go without food for weeks. You can go without water for days. But you can't go without air for days. You got to have air. And God provided Jonah with what he needed. Not everything that one would want, not all the comforts of home, but you and I need to realize that if we've got air to breathe, we are blessed. And if you don't realize that you're blessed to have air to breathe, let me suggest you don't want to find out how blessed you are, because the way for that to happen is when you can't breathe. And suddenly, you don't take it for granted anymore. I've had friends who were battling lung cancer, friends with emphysema. And when you cannot breathe, when you can't get your next breath, all of a sudden, you don't take air for granted. I want to submit to you that we take all kinds of things for granted every day. And sometimes God has to put us in a situation where we don't have a lot of what we are accustomed to in order to make us grateful, in order to make us aware of how blessed we are. Folks, we are blessed. The trip that I just took is a reminder to me that most of the world not only doesn't have what we have, they can't imagine what we have. They can't imagine it. The stuff we take for granted, the choices of food. My wife, years ago, when we lived on Cape Cod, was in the kitchen very frustrated because she's looking through the cabinets and the pantry and none of the food choices in there really seemed exciting for supper. And I was like, well, we could have that, but you know, we've had that this week. And, you know, we could have that, but I don't really want that right now. And as she was trying to make her choices among things that were less than thrilling, the phone rang. And it was a phone call from a program that helps starving people in other parts of the world. And they said, would you please stay on the line for a message from this person? And she listened and heard about the people who were starving. And she repented. And she made a big gift over the phone. And when I came home, she said, honey, I trust you won't be upset with me. We just made a very generous gift to this organization. Why? Because in the midst of her lack of gratitude, God reminded her that her family's not starving to death. And a lot of families are. When you see what it is to be without things, you begin to appreciate what you've got. And the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to have that attitude. We're supposed to give thanks in all circumstances. We're supposed to rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, even possums and skunks. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and he's holding out his hand.
So, Jonah realizes that having called on the Lord in his distress, the Lord answered him. And the answer was a great big fish that was specially prepared for Jonah. The Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And so he says, in my distress I called to the Lord and he answered me. From the depths of the grave I called for help and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep. I thought those sailors did it. They were the Lord's instruments. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. This guy did not believe his life was over. The circumstances said his life was over, but he said, I'm going to look to the Lord. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. That was not for decoration. It's because he couldn't get loose. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever, but you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. Where did he pray this prayer? After he was back on dry land? No. While he was inside the fish. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord. And this is what he said. So Jonah is giving thanks to the Lord in the dark. What do you see inside a fish? Nothing. It's like, well, ribs and no. You don't see anything. Have you ever been in a cave when they turned out the lights? That's what you see. Nothing. He can't see anything. What do you think he smells? Have you ever cleaned fish? Do you like the smell of fish guts? Would you like to be inside the fish guts? That's what Jonah's smelling. It's dark. He can't see. And he doesn't know how long he's going to be in there. You understand? He had never read the book of Jonah because it hadn't been written yet. Okay? So he's not saying, well, I would guess I've been in here about 12 hours, so I only have 2.5 days to go. No. He couldn't say that. He didn't know how long he was going to be in there. He just believed God that he was going to get out. That the same God who rescued him from drowning would eventually continue to use him. That was the plan. So he is saying, I'm going to get out and I'm going to keep every promise I've made to you, God. He'd been making promises to God. He says, I'm going to do everything I said. What I have vowed, I will make good. He gave thanks in the middle of a bad situation. You will find yourself sometimes in situations where you can't see what's coming. You can't even really get your bearings. And in the midst of that, you need to give thanks to God. And realize God still has a plan. And the fact that you can't see it doesn't mean life is over. So, he gave thanks. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Those who cling to worthless idols, those who are devoted to something less than God, those who make an idol of something instead of worshiping God, they forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The invitation is wide open. Whosoever will may come. Nobody is going to be able to say unfair with any credibility. Because the fact of the matter is the reason why people don't know the Lord is because they go like this. You read the book of Revelation, as God's wrath is being poured out on mankind, people try to hide in caves from the wrath of God. They curse God and refuse to repent. Refuse to repent. It's not that they don't know right from wrong. It's not that they don't know that God is God. It's that they do not want to bow. But let me tell you something. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everybody, everywhere is going to have to bow before him. Why would you not bow now? Why would you not, while you have the opportunity, say, I surrender to the one who is not only all-powerful, but who has demonstrated such miraculous love for rebel creatures. Jesus came to save sinners. Understand that his love offers you life. You can have eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Jonah says, the idolaters forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Verse 9, but I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. He says, I'm going to sing a song of thanks to you, Lord. And if you look at the way this prayer is written, it's written in your Bibles in the form of a poem because it was a song that he wrote. It has many parallels to the songs that had been written before in the book of Psalms. There are phrases from the Psalms that he's borrowed, but he composed his own song of praise to God. In the midst of a dark place, with a totally uncertain future, he had confidence in the Lord and in the Lord's salvation. That is an example. This is the place in the book where Jonah gets it right. Okay? Chapter number 1, He's running from God. Chapter number 2, he can't run. He's inside the great fish. And so in that dark and smelly place, he does what we should do. He gives thanks to God. He sings a song of worship and thanksgiving. And so, verse 10, the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Picture yourself on shore. Picture yourself, you're down there maybe trying to catch some small fish, and all of a sudden, here comes a huge fish, large enough to house a man, okay? Huge fish comes up to the shore and goes, well, you know what vomit's like, okay? Wah! And out in the midst of the vomit comes this wiggling thing. And you're looking and it's like, I mean, you're terrified. And this guy gets up and goes, oh, thank you, Lord. Can you imagine? That's how he began his second phase of ministry. Covered with vomit, maybe a little bit bleached out from digestive juices. We don't know. But I'm telling you, he didn't look pretty, okay? And yet, God was about to use him in a way that was beyond what he hoped. God can take your life from darkness, from stench, from what looks hopeless, and use you. Don't think he can, because it is by grace that we're here today.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.